Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
Good evening and welcome. Nice to have your company again for another edition of Live on Era, the Irish programme here on Talk Radio Europe. And I hope you can stay with me until 7 o'clock. Yesterday, I was on the beach at 8 a.m. In fact, I was there well before 8 a.m. in case I slept it out. I didn't sleep on the beach. No, I didn't. Maybe for some of the night. But anyway, I was there because it was Bloomsday yesterday, the 16th of June. And I told you already last week and a couple of weeks ago we heard from Roger Comiskey that there was going to be a reading of Chapter 9 of Ulysses on the beach. There were 13 of us there, which was absolutely great. So you'll be hearing a little bit of the action from the beach yesterday, Bloomsday, on the programme. We'll be taking a look at some of the famous Irish birthdays coming up this week that we are going to mark. I will be talking to George Lee about some of the stories that made headlines in Ireland over the past 7 days. There will be a history lesson, and I'll be playing for you the number one song in Ireland on this particular day back in 1967, all of 52 years ago. Just to let you know, if you would like to contact the programme at any stage, I would love to hear from you, particularly if you've got some constructive criticism or you'd like me to include certain things. Do please let me know, and if there's something happening in your area that you think I should be covering or should be talking to people about, do please get in touch. The email address is ger@tre.radio. I got a lovely email recently from a lady called Mary French, but she singled out Patricia Traynor and Patricia's anecdotes and her memoirs and her memories that she brings to us on the programme on a regular basis. So thank you for that. And hopefully next week maybe we might have something else from Patricia Traynor, but certainly in the not too distant future. But thanks, Mary, for taking the time. And I did reply, I know that, but I just thought I'd give you a quick mention. Will we start with the birthdays? I think we should. Today being the 17th of June, a fellow by the name of John Gregg was born on this day back in 1867. He was the inventor of the Gregg shorthand system. He was born in County Monaghan. If you studied secretarial studies at any stage, you may have learned the Gregg shorthand system, or maybe if you're a journalist. Tuesday, tomorrow is the 18th of June. Jason McAteer, the Irish international soccer player, was born in 1971. So happy 48th birthday to you tomorrow, Jason McAteer. He never misses the programme. Wednesday is the 19th of June. Sister Stanislaus Kennedy was born in Dingle in 1936. And Sister Stanislaus is a well-known campaigner against poverty and homelessness and has done much work down through the last number of decades. Thursday of this week is the 20th of June. Theobald Wolfetone, politician born in Dublin in 1763. John A. Costello, he was the Taoiseach in Ireland from 1948 to 1951 and again from 1954 to 1957. He was born in Dublin in 1891. Gordon Wood, the Irish rugby player, born in Limerick in 1931. Angus McAnally, broadcaster, born in Dublin in 1955. So happy 64th birthday to Angus McAnally. You will often have heard a strange voice introducing me on GB Not GQ when I fill in for Giles Brown on a Friday. That's the voice of my son Ben. In fact, he did something for us 2 weeks ago. Well, Ben celebrates his birthday on Thursday as well. He's going to be a big 23. So happy birthday to Ben in advance of next Thursday. We jump then to next Sunday, which is the 23rd of June. Eamon O'Queeve, a politician born in Dublin in 1950, 69 years old. And Eamon O'Queeve, we'll be talking about his family again in the history lesson, because the O'Queeves, weren't they involved with the Irish press? And also, wasn't he Eamon de Valera's grandson? So there you go. Peter Corr was born in Dundalk, and he was a soccer player, played for Everton, he played for Ireland, and he played for Dundalk, and he was born in 1923 on the 23rd of June. And that's it. That's a very quick look at some of the famous birthdays that we have. There are no musical birthdays in there, so what do we do then? I don't know. Would I sing a song myself? Absolutely not. But I thought that Angus McAnally might be the man to bring us a piece of music. Not himself singing, although he is a fine singer, but for the last number of years, he has been touring the country with the Christy Hennessy Show. It's a show or a play about Christy Hennessy, and he is just absolutely brilliant at performing as Christy Hennessy, and he does that with his family, Christy's family, that is. And I thought, you know what? We haven't had a track from Christy Hennessy on the programme. So in celebration of Angus McAnally's birthday next Thursday, let's take a track now from Christy Hennessy. It's a fabulous song. It's called Roll Back the Clouds, and this is kind of the upbeat version of it. And you're listening to it on Live on Air, the Irish programme on Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. And the programme is brought to you in association with emeraldconnection.net.
Hear my songs, but all you want to know, have I been on the radio? And who's the biggest star I've seen? What is my favorite scene? And if I get the job, would I sing on Mars? Yes, sir, I would sing on Mars. I'd play upon a star. I'd sing songs of the sun. And when my job was done, I would say I love you so. And I'd like to play one more, just to all young lovers for the road. Tell me, sir, just how far I need to go to be a star. I have known my highs and lows. I've worked in every show. I've played in every town and brought some houses down. Yet critics never notice me. I'm not a star, you see. And yet I give my heart to every part.
Version of that song. He does a lovely ballad version of it as well, but I thought we'd start the programme with a little bit of a bang. That is Christy Hennessy and Roll Back the Clouds. A great song it is too, and as I told you at the start, it's because Angus McAnally celebrates his birthday this coming Thursday, so happy birthday to him, and continued success as he tours the country with his show all about Christy Hennessy, the late Christy Hennessy, who died way too young a number of years ago. All right, let's do a very quick break. Coming up just after that, I will be introducing what happened on the beach in Fuengirola yesterday morning.
presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
Talk Radio Europe.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
Welcome back to the programme. As I told you at the top of the programme, I was in Fuengirola at La Sepa Playa yesterday morning, Sunday morning, and that was at 8 o'clock. I was there because it was Bloomsday. You know from previous interviews on the programme that there was a reading of Chapter 9 of Ulysses on the beach yesterday morning. We had a fabulous turnout. There was 13 people there in total. And what I'm going to bring for you right now is a little introduction. Firstly, introduced by Roger Comiskey, who is the man whom, with his wife Dolores, put the event together on an annual basis. And this was the 9th year of the reading. So Roger does an introduction. Then you will hear some of the reading. We start off with the English version. And Coleman was the man that started the whole proceedings. Then we go into Spanish, and that was read by Matya, or Mickey, as I think she was introduced by Roger Comiskey. Then we go into Finnish. Now, Auli was not there on the beach, but she is a regular attendee. Didn't make it last year, didn't make it from Finland this year, but to be part of it, she recorded her little passage of Chapter 9 and she sent it to Roger and we played it on the beach. So you'll have the Finnish version of her little snippet there from Auli as well. And then it finishes off very quickly with the English version, the very ending of Chapter 9. And that's from Ray or Raphael, whom we also speak to in there. So there you go. Now, you'll hear as well a mention of a dressing gown and a comment that I made. And as we were settling down, we were in t-shirts and people had hoodies and people were dressed in various different ways, and the next thing, Roger produced his dressing gown. And I said to him, Roger, seriously, if people see us, they'll think we're on day release from a nursing home or something. And he makes reference to that in this, so that's just so you know what's happening. I'm not going to tell you about some of the other stuff that happened on the day. Not at all. Anyway, over to Roger.
You're very welcome to the 2019 Bloomsday on the beach in Fuengirola. It's our 9th year. We're going to start with Chapter 9, and we've a terrific turnout. I'm hoping that a few other people will turn up. It looks like we're going to be reading at the moment in English and in Spanish. And I welcome especially Enrique Linaza back, his wife Mercedes, and Mighty, who was, I think you were here before with Susie Marquez many moons ago. Yeah. And Jose is from De Madrid. The rest of you are from assorted hamlets in Ireland, and you're very welcome. Okay, folks, here we go. Chapter 9, Coleman will lead off, right?
And we have we not, those priceless pages of Wilhelm Meister, a great poet and a great poet's brother, a hesitating soul, taking arms against a sea of troubles, torn by conflicting doubts, as one sees in real life. He came a step, a syncopace forward on Neat's leather creaking, and a step backwards, a syncopace on the solemn floor.
Verdugo del alma, le llamó Robert Renin, dijo Stephen. Por algo era hijo de un carnicero que blandía el hacha curvada escupiéndose en las manos. 9 vidas se siegan por la única de su padre. Padre nuestro que estás en el purgatorio. Los handlers de Kaki no dudan en disparar. El matadero ensangrentado del acto quinto es un vaticinio del campo de concentración cantado por Mr.
Spurner. Siltä se näyttää. Steven sanoi, kun hän haluaa tehdä hänelle ja kaikille muille ja yksinäisille ja tähkää tekemättömille kohduille. Sen pyhän palveluksen, jonka tallirenki tekee orille. Ehkäpä hänellä, kuten Sokrateella, oli kätilö äitinään, kuten hänellä oli äkäpussi vaimonaan. Mutta hen rietas irstailija.
Kind air defined the coins of houses in Kildare Street. No birds, frail from the housetops. 2 plumes of smoke ascended, plumbing, and in a flaw of softness softly were blown. Cease to strive. Peace of the druid priests of Cymbeline. Hiero frantic from wide earth and altar. Loud we the gods, and let our crooked smoke climb to their nostrils from our blessed altars.
Okay, so listen, thank you very much indeed, one and all. I hope that, thank you for coming, and I hope that you enjoyed yourself. The sun is now coming out to make it a nice pleasant morning for doing all the other things that you want to do now that you're in beautiful Fuengirola. We'll adjourn to the Sepa Playa Cafe here and have a cup of coffee. But first, does anybody wants to go for a swim? I just went to the trouble of putting on my bathing togs, which are not an awful lot more comfortable than my designer shorts. Okay, thank you very much indeed once again. And we'll see you all next year.
A man that wasn't here on the beach last year, but here today for the meeting. You've been here before. Your name is Martin
McCormick.
And Martin McCormick is from where back home?
Rendle originally.
Okay.
And still going back to Rendle now next Thursday for a few weeks. And I'm here in Fuengirola for, must be over 20 years.
Lovely.
I kind of started this with Roger here a few years ago, and I like to do something for Bloom's Day. I think the Irish are great doing Paddy's Day, and Bloom's Day is another little thing, and it's amazing the amount of people. I think there's more French and Spanish that are interested in Eula says than people back home. But it's a great talking point when you go out, and now we're going up to have a coffee and a bite to eat, and we'll have a great old chat.
Are you a Joycean for years, or is this just something that you enjoy?
I came across Roger here about 10 years ago, and that's how I started.
Right.
We didn't do it in school.
Did you like it?
Very difficult. I don't think I ever read the book completely. I do bit by bit. And it's one of those things you can pick up and read a few pages.
Yeah.
And you try to get used to the language. Today was a little bit difficult. We had my wife here one day and she did a bit in Thai.
Oh, lovely.
I translated it and that was very nice. It's good to have an international crowd.
Good to talk to you. Thanks, Martin. Raphael, or Ray as you're known in the parish.
That's right.
What parish are you from originally?
What parish? I'm from just outside Drogheda.
Oh, nice. Tell me about your time in Spain.
I spent some time in Spain around 2003, 2004, 2005, and I organised a celebration of Bloom's Day on behalf of the Irish Embassy. So I got a lot of good readers, actors, and we had a great day.
You were showing me a little booklet there a few moments ago that you produced, or you met some people and it was produced. Talk me through it.
Yeah, I met these guys from Valencia about 5 years ago, and just chatted to them, and the next year they appeared again. Then the third year we decided we better get to know each other a bit better, so they come over to Dublin every year, and it's always around the 16th of June. They're very good readers, so they like to get up on a stage and read in Spanish. They produce a little booklet linking Miguel Cervantes with Joyce. A lovely little booklet, but it just shows you how interested they are and where the interest lies. It's all over the world.
Tell me what's on the front cover. Paint a picture for me.
So what we have is the image of Miguel Cervantes, and he's sitting on the tower in Sandy Cove. Right, so that's page one. And then in the middle, you have Don Quixote and Sancho attacking the tower. Right, and they've imposed a windmill on the tower. It's a nice little booklet. There you have the stately, plump Buck Mulligan came from the stairhead. So on the left-hand side, you have the English. And on the right-hand side, you have the Spanish. So if anybody wants to learn Spanish or English, you've got them both on the one page. And they just produce one chapter.
Yeah.
Just the full chapter one. So, you know, just a nice link between Cervantes and Joyce. Yeah.
All right. Good to talk to you. And thank you for talking to us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Roger, we had 13 people here, Roger. Were you happy?
Oh, yeah. That's twice what we had last year.
Yeah.
You know, which is that's grand. You see, you can't predict. It's a bit like going to Mass on a Sunday. There's no charge in.
You don't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah, well, you're not too sure how long it's going to last unless you get a fast priest. But we generally get the whole thing over by about 10:30. I think that your remark at the very start was quite appropriate, that it looked like with me in my dressing gown, as if it was a gathering that had just arrived out from a nursing home to sit around on the beach and read their Bibles or whatever.
Same place, same time, same day next year, yeah?
Absolutely. The dates, everything will change. Will be the same, except the day will change from a Sunday to a Monday.
Now, I've only one question. Have you any idea why Joyce decided to start this at 8 o'clock in the morning? He could have started it at 11 and we could have had a lie-in.
Well, funnily enough, he started two guys at the same time.
Yeah.
The first three chapters are made up of Stephen Dedalus, out at the tower and the 40-foot. That started at 8 o'clock. Meanwhile, across the town, Mr. Bloomsday started, and that starts at chapter 4. And so they intertwined, you know, and then they kept meeting through the day as they went along. The novel runs from 8 a.m., the adventures of these two characters primarily, from 8 in the morning until about 2 the following morning.
I should have known better than to ask you a question like that. But anyway, thank you very much for the invitation to be here. And we look forward to seeing you Bloom's Day 2020.
Okay, thank you, Ger, for coming along and for doing the lovely interviews.
I've been north and I've been south and I've been east and west. I've been just a rolling stone. Yet there's one place on this earth I've always liked the best. Just a little town I call my own. But Dublin can be heaven with coffee at 11 and a stroll in Stephen's Green. No need to hurry, no need to worry. You're a king and the lady's a queen. Grafton Street's a wonderland. There's magic in the air. There are diamonds in the lady's eyes and gold dust in her hair. And if you don't believe me, come and meet me there in Dublin on a sunny summer morning. I've been north and I've been south and I've been east and west. I've been just a rolling stone. Yet there's one place on this earth I've always liked the best. Just a little town I call my own. But Dublin can be heaven with coffee at 11 and a stroll in Stephen's Green. No need to hurry, no need to worry. You're a king and the lady's a queen. Grafton Street's a wonderland. There's magic in the air. There are diamonds in the lady's eyes and gold dust in her hair. And if you don't believe me, come and meet me there in Dublin on a sunny summer morning. I've been here and I've been there, I've sought the rainbow's end, but no crock of gold I found. Now I know that come what will, whatever fate may send, here my roots are deep in friendly ground. You know Dublin can be heaven, with coffee at 11 and a straw in Stephen's Green. There's no need to hurry, no need to worry. You're a king and the lady's a queen. Grafton Street's a wonderland. There's magic in the air. There are diamonds in the lady's eyes and gold dust in her hair. And if you don't believe me, come and meet me there in Dublin on a sunny summer morning. For Dublin can be heaven with coffee at 11 and a stroll in Stephen's Green. No need to hurry, no need to worry. You're a king and the lady's a queen. Grafton Street's a wonderland. There's magic in the air. There are diamonds in the lady's eyes and gold dust in her hair. And if you don't believe me, come and meet me there in Dublin on a sunny summer morning.
Dublin can be heaven. That's an old song, and I thought it would be nice as we finished our piece on Bloomsday. And again, look forward to next year on the beach in Fuengirola. Now, I did say to you that I was going to play the number one song in Ireland on this very day, back in 1967, and I certainly am. I don't know much about this. Johnny Kelly. Now, I find, when I went looking about to find information about Johnny Kelly, that I found Johnny Kelly and the Capital Show Band linked some places, and just Johnny Kelly on his own in different locations. And this particular song, he is in the charts as Johnny Kelly, singing the Black Velvet Band. And the story is about a young man that was tricked by a woman and transported to Australia. That's the background to it. It was number one from the 15th to the 22nd of June, back in 1967. Let's take a listen to it.
Queen of the land, with her hair flung over her shoulders. to stay very long. I met with this frolicsome damsel as she came tripping along. Oh, what she pulled out of her pocket and slipped it right into me hand. On the very first day that I met her, bad luck to her black velvet band. Her eyes, they shone like diamonds.
Johnny Kelly and a song that you will be very familiar with. It's called The Black Velvet Band, number one on this day back in 1967. And we'll take another Irish number one. That was number one in Ireland, by the way. And we'll take another Irish number one at some point in the very near future. Let's take a very quick break right now. Come back to me just after that. And myself and George Lee will be rambling on about things that were happening in Ireland over the last 7 days.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
TRE.
We let our programmes do the talking.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
You are very welcome to this week's G2 Summit, the two G's. Ger Sweeney here and George Lee at the other side. George, good to have you on board as always. How are you?
Not too bad at all, Ger. Just hope the tin cans work.
Hopefully they will. We're having some problems with the lines today, so we'll see what happens. And the tin cans might have been a better option, but there you go. Anyway, we're here to take a look at some of the stories that we were chatting about in Ireland over the last 7 days or thereabouts. Our very own kind of tongue-in-cheek look at the stories. Now, there's a big old row, George, after developing between two very good friends, Ireland and Scotland, over fishing rights around a rock called Rockall off the Donegal coast. It was kind of going tit for tat earlier in the week, but it seems to have calmed down now. What's that all about?
I think it may be around Brexit. It may be around trying to establish things before Brexit kicks in. It's also maybe trying to bring something to the top of the agenda. Rockall, look, for as long as I can remember, Rockall has been a source of problem, but it has always been with the British rather than with the Scottish. Looking at it during the week as well, I mean, there's all sorts of countries are beginning to claim it because it's a rock in the middle of the ocean, a granite rock. The laws of the sea or the international treaties would say that if it's not habitable, it's not belong to anybody.
Okay.
It's not the rock itself that's the problem. It's that there are fantastic fishing rights, but also some oil exploration rights available around it. So on that basis, it is a very, very valuable piece of ocean.
I presume the fact that it's gone a little bit quiet over the last few days means that there are back channels working and that civil servants are trying to figure this out away from the public.
I would say so. I don't think there's any Irish warships moving into the area yet.
Do we have some? We have rubber ducks, I'd say, more than warships, but there you go.
Well, maybe they commandeered one of the American nuclear submarines.
I doubt it very much. But anyway, actually, talking of nuclear submarines and their positioning in the estuary while Donald Trump was in Ireland. Now, since he was elected president, there has not been a US ambassador to Ireland. That all changed during the week as Cleveland billionaire businessman Edward F. Crawford was confirmed by the US Senate on Thursday night as the new US ambassador to Ireland. So it's nice that we're getting our ambassador, isn't it?
Yeah, Jared, it's like as if he just discovered that Ireland existed over the last few weeks. He pointed to his Irish heritage as part of his qualifications for the role in the confirmation hearings. And apparently both of his parents left Ireland to travel to the US in the 1920s and said that they would be very proud of what he has accomplished and what they have accomplished as a family. And I suppose that reflects maybe a lot of the Irish-American story over the last 100 years or so. Daniel Mulhall, of course, who is the Ireland's ambassador to the US, also welcomed the confirmation of his counterpart on Twitter, saying that Ambassador Crawford has long been a leading member of the Irish community in Cleveland and that he wished him well in his new assignment in Ireland. So, look, it all bodes well. I do know that things really move a little bit faster when there is an ambassador in place, and I know certainly in terms of some of the visa applications and that over the last number of months, things have slowed down considerably from an Irish people going to America perspective.
No. The health of the nation is something that we always think about, but the health of the world is something that is very much in the news at the moment, because the World Health Organization met on Friday to decide whether to declare the Ebola epidemic an international emergency after an outbreak that began in the Democratic Republic of Congo, crossed into Uganda, and we know there have been some deaths in the last week or so. This is certainly something that's on people's minds, isn't it?
It is, and actually to the forefront of a lot of the coverage that we've had here in Ireland over the last couple of weeks. It's the Limerick man, of course, who was a former TD for Limerick, Peter Power, who now works at a very high level in the area. It took a couple of days for the World Health Organization to decide whether it would classify it as an international crisis or not. And they've come down, I suppose, at this point on the basis of the fact that it's not, because it really started in the Democratic Republic of Congo and it spread to neighbouring Uganda, but it was carried by one single family. So I think maybe that's why they decided it wasn't an international threat, and they may feel that they have a ring fence there. It only meets to review, by the way, this watchdog body, the world's most severe outbreaks. That, I think, maybe encapsulates how important this is. There's been more than 2,000 cases, including over 1,400 deaths since it emerged in eastern Congo in August. The only time previously that international emergencies have been declared, just for the record, was the H1N1 swine flu pandemic in 2009 and the spread of the polio virus in 2014 and also Ebola when it devastated parts of West Africa from 2014 to 2016, and also the surge of the Zika virus in 2016 as well. The Ebola is carried, its natural reservoir is in the bat, and apparently the bat itself doesn't fall ill, but it passes on the microbes to humans. It's handed on by contact with bodily fluids, so touching a sick or a dead person is a well-known source of infection. So
if Shakespeare had written this script, that would be a fabulous soliloquy.
Thank you, Ger. Yeah.
Your knowledge of Ebola stuns me. All right.
You know me, Ger. If it can kill you, I know all about it.
Indeed. Now, maybe to deflect attention from the non-progress at the talks to re-establish the Northern Ireland Assembly, DUP MP Geoffrey Donaldson has accused the Irish government of driving us all towards a no-deal Brexit. I don't know what he's at, but anyway, what was Geoffrey Donaldson thinking?
Can I just say something before we go into this story?
Please do.
Geoffrey Donaldson bears an incredible resemblance to Daniel O'Donnell for some strange reason.
I will never be able to play a Daniel O'Donnell song again without thinking of Geoffrey Donaldson.
But it's uncanny. Just look at their pictures, especially when they wear the glasses, you know. It's just so uncanny. Anyway, I just said I'd throw that bit in.
Oh, yeah, so look, much for serious journalism.
Well, you did say it was tongue-in-cheek.
Didn't I? Go on, Geoffrey.
Yeah, but look, I think Geoffrey was coming to the South. He saw an opportunity to have a pop at Leo. He wants to deflect away from the fact that the local elections weren't, and European elections weren't, exactly stunning for the DUP in the North. They're trying to remain relevant, and Geoffrey saw his opportunity, made a speech. But I thought Leo Varadkar's take on it, his response and riposte to it was quite good in that he said, look, Geoffrey, thanks for that. Really respect you as a politician and actually as a friend as well. You are very welcome to the Republic of Ireland. But look, would you please refer to the manual, because you will see that there are 27 other countries in Europe. We're part of that. And any negotiation that's going to happen, honey, is going to happen between 27 and Britain. So look, you know, get your own house in order and come back and we'll negotiate then.
In fairness to Leo, he waxes lyrical, doesn't he?
Ah, he does, yeah, especially when he has me referring to it.
I'd love to know if he ever heard those comments from your mouth, what he would say to it. Honey. Anyway, this next story is something that has gripped the imagination of the media and indeed people sitting down having a pint as well. The owners of the Guinness brand Diageo confirmed on Thursday that they are withdrawing their sponsorship of rugby club London Irish. Now, the English Premiership club and the drinks brand have had a sponsorship relationship since 1992. And this is all because London Irish have agreed to sign Paddy Jackson for the forthcoming season, and they're in trouble with a number of other sponsors as well, it appears.
Yeah, it looks that way, Ger. This whole case that happened, I suppose, over the last number of years in the north of Ireland, where Paddy Jackson and the other Irish rugby international Stuart Olding were unanimously acquitted of rape after a high profile trial last year. This whole scenario has actually led to a number of debates happening, not least amongst the judiciary, and how they would deal with the rape trials going forward in the north. And that, yeah, look, this is not good news, I suppose, from a London Irish perspective. You and I both, I suppose, have been around the marketing game for quite a long time. From a Diageo perspective, and also Cat Converters, who also ended their sponsorship agreement with the Exiles during the week, they're looking at this and they're saying, look, how positive or how negative is this new signing going to be from our perspective? And they really couldn't see that there was anything in this for them. Is Paddy Jackson's career now hold below the waterline? Probably is at this point. Will London Irish recant and cancel his contract? Who knows? But, you know, he must be feeling a little bit bruised about this, because he was ultimately acquitted of rape, no matter what you think happened within the trial.
Now, while it's something that isn't happening in our front garden, it's certainly happening down the road or in the shed, and that is the leadership race in Britain for the Conservative Party. And as we speak, we are down to six people, with the front runner still being Boris Johnson, who is still not doing press interviews as in TV or radio, but I do believe he's going to be doing a debate on the BBC on Tuesday night. I suppose Jeremy Hunt would be the man that would be lined up maybe to be in the second position. So how much of an eye are we keeping on this?
I think we're keeping a very close eye on this. I don't think there's ever been as much interest in a Conservative Party, and that is a Conservative Party election. Okay, albeit that the person will be immediately become Prime Minister, the outcome of this could have major ramifications for Ireland, I suppose, over the next 20 years, perhaps. But like they always say, it's not over till the Fat Lady sings. And I don't think the Fat Lady has sung in this one yet. I think there may be one or two twists in this yet, Ger. Michael Gove was taken out very succinctly last weekend just by one newspaper article. This is going to be intriguing. And I think until such time as we see somebody walk in the door of 10 Downing Street, I don't think you can bargain on anybody actually winning it.
Is Boris and his advisers, are they right to keep him away from radio and television interviews for the moment? They're just afraid he's going to put his size 10s into it, aren't they?
They are, but you know, it hasn't done him any harm at this point. 114 votes out of 330, was it, or 313 in the first round of election, of the election. You know, not a bad outcome. The next round or two may point to where we're going here, and unless then there's a major iceberg hit by the Johnson campaign, perhaps he is a shoo-in, who knows?
Okay. Now, for those who don't know, when we refer to the Oireachtas, we're referring to the joint houses of the Dáil Éireann and the Seanad Éireann. And I see that a new online exhibition has been launched by the Oireachtas Library, with over 10,000 historical items available to the public. What's all this about?
Yeah, this is very interesting. And it's actually a throwback, believe it or not, to the good old bad days. The Oireachtas Library has over 10,000 historical items in it. And many of these passed on from the time that the British were in power in Ireland. But Murray Mairead Trainor, who's a library and archive manager in the House of the Oireachtas, she said that they date back to the 16th century and they include historical maps, periodicals, political cartoons. But they have asked various people to pick up their favourite bits. And I suppose the Ciarán Comhairle Seanán Fáil said the vast collection held in the Oireachtas Library was being made available at the click of a button as part of the Dáil centenary celebrations. And he said one document that stood out for him, and this is a lovely, lovely piece, was a pamphlet produced in the context of Ireland in 1917 when they were reaching out and looking to the United States for moral and financial support. And he juxtaposed that with correspondence from America in 1775, where the revolutionaries there were looking back to Ireland and asking Ireland to support them in their efforts. Guest curators were then invited as well to look at the treasures. And John Lonergan, who's everybody's favourite jail governor over the last 20 years, was asked to become one of the guest curators. And he looked at it and he said, it's important to know where we're coming from. We must look back to look forward. And that's something that, as you know, my interest in history, I would always say as well. He focused on the penal system and the reports from the 17th, 18th and 19th century. And he said it was a real eye-opener for legislators because of modern-day people advocating tougher times and tougher regimes. And he said that the regimes in those days were absolutely horrendous. And the reports that he read had highlighted that. You could see the changes beginning to happen then in the mid-19th century, he said, where they focused on prison reform rather than just on retribution. So, you know, it is a very, very interesting archive, and it is available to be explored on www.doyle100.ie.
All righty. Now, last week, we spoke about Paddy the Pigeon in relation to D-Day commemorations. And this week, we're going to talk about a pigeon who is yet to be named, but he's caused some chaos at the state examinations in Dublin. What's this about? You being our pigeon expert.
Pigeon fancier.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, so that was a very strange strange title. But anyway, yes, this pigeon took up residence in the examination hall of a Dublin secondary school and almost forced a change of venue for the German exam. But he's now left the building, apparently. He's like Elvis. Pupils in St. Mary's College in Rathmines apparently were sitting their religion exam when the bird made himself a home in the examination hall. Those taking the exam were assured by the school that they will not be docked marks for poor presentation after apparently the pigeon, and I just love the way they put this, deposited droppings on their examination papers. We have to have a pigeon story every week, and we'll dedicate that to all the people that contacted me during the week and told me how much they loved the Paddy the Pigeon part last week.
Well, can we put it right back there and tell them that if they want a pigeon story every week, they can find it, because I'm sure, as you know what, not going to go looking for a pigeon story every week. Enough to be doing. Anyway, right. George Lee, as always, thank you for your contribution this week and your deposits, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Have a good week, Ger. My shoes.
I'm still trying to put that whole Daniel O'Donnell and Jeffrey Donaldson together in my head. But anyway, there you go. Seeing as George mentioned that Jeffrey Donaldson looks like Daniel O'Donnell, I thought, why not play a Daniel O'Donnell track? Going to take a very quick break, come back to me just after that, and there'll be a little bit of a history lesson and more music as well.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Talk Radio Europe.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Welcome to the final part of the programme, and I said we'd have an Irish history lesson. Some events that happened in and around Ireland on this particular week back in the years in history. Today is the 17th of June, 1903. On that day, an elephant named Sita killed her keeper tending her sore foot at Dublin Zoo. 1959, Eamon de Valera became president of Ireland, and in the year 2008, more than 1,200 people bare all at Blarney Castle in County Cork for a naked photo shoot by the US photographer Spencer Tunick. Dare to Bear is part of the Cork Midsummer Festival. They were very brave, not to be shown off their parts, but the cold. That'd be the biggest difficulty, I would imagine, for many. Anyway, tomorrow, Tuesday, the 18th of June, in 1815, the Battle of Waterloo, when British forces, under the command of the Duke of Wellington, a Dubliner, of course, defeated Napoleon's forces. Now, the Iron Duke wasn't the only Irish presence on the day. Napoleon's horse, Marengo, was reared in County Wexford, and the Duke of Wellington's mount itself was from County Cork. 1936, Fianna Fáil maintained links with the IRA until 1934, and then, on this particular date, the 18th of June, 1936, declared them to be an illegal organisation. And in 1945, Sean T. O'Kelly became the first elected president of Ireland. Wednesday is the 19th of June, and on that date in 1820, the Dublin Society for Improving Husbandry, and that has nothing to do with becoming a better husband. No, it doesn't. Anyway, it was originally founded on June the 25th in 1731. Well, on that particular day, 1820, the Royal Dublin Society became its brand new name. 2010, thousands of people availed of the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to walk through the newly constructed Limerick Tunnel before it opened to traffic later in the summer. Thursday is the 20th of June. On that day in 1867, Clan na Gael, Irish revolutionary organisation and the counterpart of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, was formed by John Devoy, Daniel Cahalan and Joseph McGarrity in the United States. In 1992, on that day, U2 took part in a Greenpeace protest at the Sellafield nuclear power plant in northwest England. Friday is the 21st of June, and on that day in 1854, Charles Davis Lucas from County Armagh, aged 20 and a mate in the Royal Navy, hurled a Russian shell, its fuse still burning, from the deck of his ship during the Crimean War. For his action, he became the first recipient of the Victoria Cross in 1857. Imagine that. The first man to receive a Victoria Cross was from County Armagh. Hi. 1897, James Connolly was arrested during a demonstration commemorating 1798, and Maud Gonne paid the fine for his release. And you know the story between James Connolly and Maud Gonne and MacBride and all those from listening to Patricia Traynor. 1995, a mass rally of the entire Irish press newspaper workforce and their family and friends took place through the centre of Dublin in a demonstration of unified protest against the planned closure of the newspaper group. And that didn't come to much. And Eamon O'Queeve and his family were involved very much with the Irish Press Group, and I mentioned earlier when we were doing the birthdays that we would be mentioning him and his family again, so there you have it. Right, Saturday of next week, or next weekend, 22nd of June, 1921, the first Ulster Parliament, led by Sir James Craig, was formally opened by King George V, who appealed for peace. 1932, the Eucharistic Congress in Dublin began. The high point was when over a million people gathered for Mass in Phoenix Park. 1940, the last tram to Donnybrook ran. And in 1973, Hilton Edwards and Dr. Micheál MacLeomore were given the freedom of the city of Dublin. If you know your show business, your entertainment, your theatre, your TV, your radio in Ireland in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and maybe into the early 80s as well, you will know who Hilton Edwards and Dr. Micheál MacLeomore are. 1998, on that day, an urgent appeal was made to Ireland's drivers to slow down after 8 young people lost their lives in a black weekend on the country's roads. Finally, next Sunday, is the 23rd of June, 1704. On that day, the Registration Act came into force, requiring all Catholic priests in Ireland to register in court to furnish £250 bonds for good behaviour and not to leave the county in which they are registered. Wow. 1939, on that day, Dáil Éireann introduced internment. 1959, Sean Lamass became Taoiseach and leader of Fianna Fáil. In 1985, an Air India Boeing 747 from Toronto crashed off the coast of Ireland, killing all 329 people on board in the world's worst commercial air disaster at sea at the time. And finally, as you know, the eve of St. John's Feast Day. It's also Midsummer's Eve, an ancient solar fest celebrated with bonfires throughout the Celtic lands. And of course, it's also celebrated here in Spain. And I'm looking forward to San Juan. Oh, I have the tent ready. I have the new deck chair sorted. We have the cool bag. Oh, all we have to do is put the picnic together. And looking forward to spending the evening on the beach, San Juan. So there we go. That's our history lesson for today. I was having a conversation recently with somebody. I cannot remember who it was, but we were talking about Joe Dolan. I came up with a title, Lady in Blue. And whomever I was chatting to said, what? And I said, Lady in Blue. And I was asked, what's that? I said, that's a Joe Dolan song from way back, late 60s, maybe early 70s. And I wasn't believed. I wasn't. So I said, I must play it. Here is Joe Dolan and Lady in Blue. It's as much to kind of ease my mind as well that it actually does exist. It's a fabulous song.
Who's that lady on her own? I wish that she would look my way. She just stands there all alone. A painted smile upon her face. Lonely lady dressed in blue. May I have this dance with you? Let me hold you in my
There we go, Joe Dolan and a fabulous song called Lady in Blue. That is my lot for today. I am sorry to say that's it. Time is up and I don't get overtime, so I have to keep going. Simple as that. Thank you so much for your company this evening. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with the programme at any stage, ger@tre.radio is the email address. Thank you, as always, to George Lee for chatting to me about some of the stories that made headlines last week. Thank you to Roger Comiskey, his wife Dolores, and everybody who took part part on the Bloomsday event on the beach in Fuengirola yesterday and for allowing me to interview you and talk to them on the radio. And thank you, most importantly, for listening to the programme. Thank you as well, as always, to our Spanish-Irish cultural correspondent and consultant, José Antonio Sierra. And you'll be hearing more from him very shortly on the programme. Have yourselves a great week. Look after yourselves and each other. Good luck now and mind yourselves.
Gerard Sweeney presents Live on Era in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.